Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas, Hard Body, Houston, Texas, and we're having a great time out here at the tournament, meeting a lot of folks. And by the way, folks, I played with Jim Thorpe yesterday, and he's a cool guy, a great ambassador for golf. You get a chance to watch him on television when there are some real characters in the Champions Tour. And Jim's one of them, and I had a great time spending the day with him. It was a lot of fun. Rod Green is with us, and he and I, unfortunately, are not going to play golf today. I wish we could, maybe one of these days. But Rod is a writer and an editor. He's worked on magazines and books for many years, and he's produced a wide range of programs and titles, including Reader's Digest edition, World War II, The People's Story. And he's coming to us all the way from the great city in London, of London, England, and he's our new friend. Rod Green, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here, and hello from America.
Well, hello to you from London.
Rod, I told my audience that you were going to tell us about, that we all know how the Titanic ended, but we don't all know the beginning of the story. And if I'm not mistaken, the Titanic kind of had its origins at a dinner party or a dinner. Is that right?
That's basically right. Yes, Titanic was a business venture between the Lord Pirrie, who was in charge of the Holland and Wolff shipyard, and the White Star Line, which was run by a man called J. Bruce Ismay. But the White Star Line was ultimately backed by J.P. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
So the Titanic ultimately then was an American ship.
Interesting. I see a lot of people don't know that. Now, let me ask you this question. Whose idea? You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a big business or a small business. Everything that happens begins with an idea in somebody's head. Whose head did that idea begin in?
Yeah, well, the idea came from the competition, really, on the North Atlantic route. There was a huge amount of competition, lots of different shipping companies competing for the passenger trade and cargo trade. Crossing the Atlantic by ship was the only way to do it at that time. We're talking 100 years ago. There were no airlines
there. This is like Boeing and Airbus building bigger and bigger airliners, right?
That's right. Yes, and the where the money came from, or where a lot of the money came from, was from the immigrant trade. People from Eastern Europe who were setting sail for America to start a new life
in the steerage compartments down below, right?
Yes, and on Titanic. Although Titanic is of course famous for being like a luxury hotel for the first and second class passengers. There were more third-class passengers whose accommodation was more like dormitories than there were far more third-class passengers than there were first and second-class put together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but Joe, Rod, I need to know whose idea this was. Whose idea was it first? Can you trace it back to one person who said, we're going to build a 900-foot-long, 46,000-ton boat, the likes of which no one has ever seen?
Well, I guess you would have to say that idea probably came from J.P. Morgan. He wanted the biggest and the best because he wanted to dominate the Atlantic trade, the North Atlantic trade.
Because he could afford it, couldn't he?
Yes, he was the richest man in the world at that time. He bailed out the American government a couple of times.
Hmm. Well, talk to us about at this dinner party. Was J.P. Morgan at that dinner party?
No, the two at the dinner party were Jay Bruce Ismay and Lord Pirrie. They had long-established business connections. Lord Pirrie, his Harland and Wolff shipyard in Belfast, built all of the ships for the White Star Line. And they decided between them what Titanic was going to look like, and they needed to, basically, they needed to beat the competition. They knew they couldn't cross the Atlantic. They knew they couldn't probably build a ship that would cross the Atlantic faster than some of the fastest ships around at that time. So they decided to become the biggest and the best. They decided to build the largest man-made moving object in history.
So basically, we got three partners. We got the shipbuilders. We got the liner business, the ship liner business, the seagoing boat business. And then we got the financier. So we brought it. We got the three parties, the three partners that we need to put this thing together. And so they came together. They designed the thing. And tell us about the business of putting this thing together.
Harland and Wolff in Belfast, where the ship was built, was at the time probably the largest shipbuilder in the world. And although Titanic was a very advanced design, a very advanced ship, used electric lighting and had elevators installed and a swimming pool and steam bath, even a squash court. It had the most fantastic restaurants and luxurious accommodation for first-class passengers. It was a great engineering achievement, but the people who built it were fantastic craftsmen. Mm. There were 4,000 men involved in construction of the Titanic, and another 4,000 in construction of her sister ship, Olympic, which was being built at roughly the same time.
Which nobody thinks much about. How big was the Olympic?
Olympic was only slightly smaller than Titanic. In almost every respect, she was identical. Titanic Is was it, made...
What happened to the Olympic?
Olympic stayed in service and served as a troop ship during the First World War, and she had quite a long life in service as a passenger liner, and was eventually broken up and went to a ship's graveyard.
Right. Rod Green is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of the book Building the Titanic, a Reader's Digest book, available wherever books are sold. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him how the business people contributed to this tragic and dramatic ending of the Titanic. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gravity beyond the spectral veil. Within our cavities, a thing we search to no avail. For the constant in the chaos.
We're back at 23 at the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email, and if you can't wait till Sunday to get my email, you can subscribe to my blog through really simple syndication. You can hear from me every day. And I know many of you out there are so happy to know that you can do that and you have that opportunity. And all you got to do is go to my website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Rod Green is our guest, and he's the author of Building the Titanic, and he's telling us all about the business of building the Titanic. Rod, does the book have a website?
I'm not sure. I don't think it does. There are a number of Titanic websites, of course.
Right. But now you need to talk to the Reader's Digest people. You need to get a website for that book.
I'm sure Reader's Digest have a website.
I know they do.
Aware of it.
Rod, the book, is it available all over the world?
Yes, pretty much so. Yes, it will be available pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
When is it actually going to be in the bookstores?
It should be getting into the bookstores around now.
Even as we speak, folks, you can check it out. And of course, we've got people listening all over the world on the Internet, so there's no telling how many books we'll sell for you today, Rod. Seriously, folks, it's a great book. It's a great book on the on the origins of the Titanic, not the ending. We know all about that. We're talking about the origins of it. Okay, Rod, what in the construction, in the development of the Titanic, what was done that you think ultimately contributed to, if not led to, its demise?
Well, the Titanic was a very advanced ship, and the people who built it, the people in Belfast, were extremely proud to have built the largest ship in the world. The design ultimately was fatally flawed, but it was no more flawed than the design of any other ship at that time. Any other ship which had hit that iceberg would also have sank.
So that's the question, isn't it? That's the ultimate question. Was there anything that anybody could have done to have averted this disaster, other than steer around the iceberg?
Well, there were things which could have been done and probably should have been done in the handling of the ship. When the new ice was in the area, they should have slowed down or even stopped.
Right.
There were things they could have done then, but in the building, as far as the building of the ship is concerned, the main contributing factor to the sinking of the ship was the way that the watertight compartments were built.
Right.
The ship was divided into watertight compartments, which, when sealed, would stop water, of course, flooding throughout the ship. But these watertight compartments didn't extend all the way up to the main deck of the ship. Nobody expected that there would ever be such a tragic accident.
But no other ship was built like that either. It wasn't like the Titanic was deficient in that area.
It wasn't deficient, and it had the most advanced watertight door system then in service. All the watertight doors below decks could, or at the bottom of the ship, could be closed by a flick of a switch up on the bridge, and they were closed.
Right.
The problem was that with these watertight compartments, these bulkheads not extending all the way up to the main deck of the ship, what happened was one filled up, and the water flowed over into the next one, and that filled up, and so on. And that's what dragged the ship down by the bows.
Rod, how much did the Titanic cost to build?
It cost about £1.5 million to build. You're not going to ask...
That's not very much. That's not very much,
but at the time, that was a huge amount of money, and it's roughly equivalent to the cost of the building of the Queen Mary II, which in today's currency was £550 million.
Well, and which is about $800-900 million.
I guess so. Yeah,
something like that. So in those days, that would have been about a little less than $3 million to build a Titanic, but even 100 years ago, that still seems not a lot of money. The workers weren't paid a lot of money, were they?
No, the workers on the Titanic, the average wage for the workers on the Titanic would have been about £2 a week.
Right, right.
And that's for the 4,000 men who were working on Titanic, their weekly wage bill would have been several times less than the full cost of ticket prices in first class.
Well, one thing that you've laid out for us today is that at least the construction was not any less than the construction of other ships. It was mainly in the operation of the ship that caused the tragic ending. Rod, I've got about 30 seconds. What's the last thing you want to tell us about building the Titanic?
Just that it was an immense achievement, and the people of Belfast were incredibly proud of Titanic and still are, to have built the largest moving man-made object in history was a real achievement.
Right, yeah, it certainly was. And the book's available wherever books are sold, right? Building the Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah. Rod, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, we'll see you next time. Rod Green, ladies and gentlemen, he is the author of Building the Titanic. Quick break, right back with Joe Cleary. Joe's here. He's right in front of me. We're going to talk about the construction business and how about the family-owned construction business. We're going to be right back after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff. See the dog and butterfly.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.